this story comes not from a sermon, but from one of the things that I often do when I do live storytellings. And part of what I do in church for children's stories is I get three unrelated objects and I have to weave them into a story. I wrote this story when they had given me at a retirement, a place of retirement, a wood plane, a Model T, and a broom's handle. This is the story I came up with, but keep in mind, I've been able to polish it for the last 20-some years. Ellen sat at her workplace, the broom factory. She sat there and she watched and made sure each of the broom handles that went by straight, that they didn't have any wood sticking out where you might get a wood chip inside their finger, splinter. It was boring work, but at least it was work with wood. Her father would have been happy. Father had been dead now for 5 years. She didn't like to dwell on it, but it was impossible not to. She sat there and her mind began to wander as she thought about how long it had been since her father had breathed his last. That stupid mind began to wander where it wasn't supposed to. Back to the shed behind her house that had been sitting there dormant for the last 5 years. A place that she and her father had spent her entire childhood working with wood. She tried to pay attention to the wood that passed in front of her, but it didn't require that much. And so her mind continued to wander. And then wonder what it would be like to open up those doors again and to walk in. No, no, she told herself. You can't think about those things. If she opened those doors, she would die. Her father's death had almost killed her. She had spent 3 weeks in her bedroom in a deep depression, missing her father. If she goes in that place, that would smell of her father and remind her with each place, each thing inside would remind her of a different moment that was precious to her, and she couldn't experience those memories. They would crush her. They would kill her. She needed to stay away from the shed. But her mind wouldn't stop thinking about it. So without telling her supervisor, without telling the friends on the line, she just got up, she got in her car, and she drove in the opposite direction, turning randomly, making sure that she wasn't thinking about anything. She just was turning, and then she realized, oh, for the love of God, her house was only a half a mile away. Her mind had tricked her. So she pulled into her driveway. She turned off the car, and there was the key to the padlock that kept everyone out of her father's wood shop. Her mind said that it was calling to her, that she needs to take that padlock key and to shove it in the padlock and to turn it. No. No. And so she grabbed that padlock key, intending to throw it away, and she pulled out the ignition key from her car. But the next thing she knew, she was standing in front of the shed, just like she had when she was 5 years old, the first time her father had taken her out to the woodshed. Not for the reasons most people think about being taken to the woodshed. One of her fondest memories, but she couldn't think of that. She had to stop thinking about those things. She had to move back into the house. She had to go watch a movie. She had to go do something just to get her mind off of it. And then off in the distance, she heard that stupid car. The Model T, her sister. Oh, she loves her sister. You see, her father was a very unique and wonderful man. He was terrified that as his kids got older, they would abandon him for their friends and not really spend time with him anymore. So he wanted to get as much time spent with them as possible when they were younger. Something unique. For her, it was this woodshed. For her sister, it was old. I mean, old cars. Her sister had rebuilt that Model T with him. It was very distinctive as it puttered down the road. And she heard her sister pull up the brake. And then she heard her voice. Go in. Go in. It'll be okay. No, I can't go in. How can you be in that car? Dad touched everything in that car with you. Everything, all the memories. How can you be in that thing to remind you that Dad isn't there? And he will never be there to turn another wrench with you. How can you live with those memories? How can you live without them? Her sister asked in reply. You haven't been right for 5 years. We love you, and we just think you're denying a huge part of yourself. Yes, it hurts sometimes. When I get in the car and I turn the ignition, and the car turns on, the motor turns, and the joy that I remember sharing with Dad the first time this stupid Model T engine actually turned. I was very thankful when we bypassed the crank. I didn't want to lose an arm. But I also feel the joy. Go in. Say hello to a part of yourself you thought long dead. Go in. She began crying. You don't understand. I can't. Leave. Please just leave me alone. So her sister did. And she heard the Model T moving away down the road, puttering as it does. What she hadn't noticed was that her right hand had betrayed her. It had shoved the padlock key into the padlock. And was still holding on. And the padlock seemed to be begging for that tension that would be caused by the twisting of that key. She screamed at herself inside, no, don't do that, don't kill me, don't do it. And as she took a breath to scream, her right hand turned, the padlock fell open, and her right hand removed the padlock, and the doors to the shed that had been shut for 5 years opened up, and it was as if the building had been holding its breath for 5 years, and it exhaled. And she was 5 years old again, and her father had opened the doors to the shed for the first time, and she could smell the cedar and the pine and all the different woods. At five, she didn't understand what she was smelling. But as an adult, and as she smelled those smells of those favorite woods of hers, she remembered the wonder, the beauty. And she didn't die. She didn't fall into a fetal position and cry until she couldn't breathe anymore. Instead, she stood there and breathed in deeply all the smells of her childhood. And the memories came flooding back, and they were terrible and wonderful at the same time. And she stepped in. And she stepped in and she saw that old wood plane. You know, one of those wood planes, not the one that's, you shove one board in and it takes enough off. No, this was one that was required elbow grease, manual labor. She remembered the argument that she had had with her father about how the Johnsons down the road had this wonderful electric wood plane. You could just shove it in and one board in, and it would take off just what you needed. Dad had smiled at her and said, you still don't understand what we're doing here. Remember, he said, when you were 5 years old and I brought you in here, I looked at you and said, this is where we are going to spend our lives, revealing the beauty God put into our very souls. You can't do that with electrified machinery. No. You got to do things by hand. We're artists. We're not people trying to get each thing perfect by man's standards. No, no. Psalm 139 tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knit us together in our mother's wombs. He created us by his own hands. That's what we're doing here. Every piece we create, everything that we do to the glory of God, to reveal the beauty he's placed in our souls. She remembers how he had reached up and got a big old block of wood and he had set it down and he had said, so, what do you see here? She had looked at him and said, it's a block of wood. No. Remember, Michelangelo's the one that said that when he looked at a piece of marble, he would see what was inside it. He had just to chip away the things that weren't part of what God had wanted him to create. Look with your soul, with the beauty God put within you. At 13, she had thought for a moment, and she said, a unicorn. What was that? Her father had said, it's a unicorn, Dad. And there sitting up on one of the shelves was that unicorn she had made when she was 13, some 20 years ago. How had she lived apart from this? How had she lived without touching all these things? All the beauty her father had revealed to her, the most important things, the most important lessons he had taught to her entire life, were right here in this building. It's as if the wood had absorbed each of these moments. She was finally home. So when her kids got home from school, she took their hands. She led them back here and said, children, this is where you're going to spend your childhood. And we're going to see the beauty God had placed in your souls as we craft beautiful items for people to see and for us to see the beauty of God within us. Let us all realize that God has placed within us beauty of the Creator. Let us find ways to share that beauty with the world. The end.